Psalm number 37, verse 4, it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Father, this morning I ask that you would help us to gain some insight into what that means, delighting ourselves in you, that you might be able to grant us the desires of our heart. Holy Spirit, be our teacher and our guide this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Sometimes we think that desire is bad. You know, desire, because, you know, there's that perfume, desire. We hear that word, desire. And sometimes our mind goes to maybe the erotic. We go to that place of passion. Passion as it relates to lust as opposed to suffering. Because passion is one, you know, we saw the movie, we've heard the Passion of the Christ. Every Christmas time comes around, or every Easter, there's the passion play. And that passion, it talks about, it means suffering. We're not talking about that kind of passion. We're not talking about that kind of desire. Because there's that desire that refers to lust, to greed, to envy, covetousness. You know, the seven deadly sins. There's that kind of desire. We're talking about a good desire. The kind of desire that God places within us. That passion for living, the zest for life, the zeal for life. That desire. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30, it says, a tranquil heart is life to the body, but passion is rottenness to the bones. A tranquil heart, a peaceful heart is life. You know, when our heart is racing, when it's turning inside of our chest, like, you know, singing this morning, where there's no peace, there's no rest. It says, but passion is rottenness to the bones. That distorted desire, the distorted passion that makes us sick. Passion is rottenness to the bones. I remember several years ago, how many of you have heard of Tony Robbins, the motivational speaker? Yeah, I've listened to a lot of his tapes and CDs and seen a lot of things that the guy's talked about. And there's, you know, it's like anything else. There's some grapes that you eat, and there's some speeds that maybe you spit out. But he talked about passion, you know, finding that which drives you and moves you along. And there's some good stuff there. But if our passion, if we're not following in God's steps, if we're not keeping in step with the Holy Spirit, then that passion can become rottenness in our bones. It can make us sick. It can make us hurt. You know, it can drive us to go hide away from people. It can drive us to darkness, to depression. Physically, you know, it can really hurt us. In James chapter 4, it talks about desire unfulfilled. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. James, we know who is the brother of Jesus, was writing this letter to the Jews in the church. It was just a broad letter that he wrote. And he was talking about this sinful nature. The church that was fighting, the church that was backbiting one another. And he just put it out there point blank. What causes these fights? What causes these quarrels? What causes all this, the negativity between you? It was because of the desires that were in them. That passion that was like rottenness to the bones. It wasn't the good desires. They had perverted them. And so often we do that. You know, We look for a mate, you know, a man or a woman. You know, we go out and it's like, oh, I want to fall in love. I want to meet someone. I want to have a relationship. And sometimes we put, you know, we put that cart ahead of the horse and we latch on to whoever comes around. And oh, I love you. I want to marry you. You know, and then it falls apart. And then, you know, on and on it goes. And we're led that way instead of just being patient and waiting. You know, oftentimes we might have this desire to have something, and it turns into a perverted, you know, wanting to have it so badly that we turn to desperation and we steal it, we take it. Like when I was a little boy, going to a place called Pick and Pay. It was a little drugstore, dime store, mail, post office, pharmacy, and liquor store, all rolled into one in outside of Chicago. And I remember going there with my mother. I was about 4 years old. And we went in there, and I went down the toy aisle. You know, a little four-year-old just can't stay away from the toy aisle. And I went down there, and I found this little toy, this little contraption, things that you know, little pieces that you put together and make something. And it was in a little, looked like a little gunny sack, you know, had the drawstring on it and that. And I went, you know, Mom, she's like, no, honey, no, not today. Why do moms always do that? No, not today, which puts a false hope in the kid's mind, like, okay, not today, maybe some other day. Well, I had already become wise to that ploy. No, honey, not today. I'm like, that means I'm never getting this thing. But I wanted it. I wanted it so desperately. I put it down, and I went back over, and it just gnawed at me. My little four-year-old mind, the wheels were turning. And I just went, she said, not now. Maybe, no. So I went back over there, and I picked that thing up, and I put it in my pocket. And we went home. Keith became a thief at the age of four. Yeah. Take what I want. It was lust. It was covetousness. It was greed. Envy. Just took it. Well, got home and I played with it, you know, played with it, made sure my door was closed, got done, I put it in the little gunny sack and I put it under, I think there were like towels or blankets or something in my bottom drawer, so I put it under there and then closed it up. I don't know how it happened, but Mom went into my room sometime later and she saw what was in the drawer. Keith Randall Coughlin. Yeah? Came in there. What is this? I don't know. How did it get here? I don't know. It's a miracle. Hallelujah! It just arrived. Oh, praise God. Yeah. So do you know what she did? She marched me over to the Pick and Pay, and she went to the manager. And of course, you know, it was a small community outside of Chicago there, probably about maybe 18 to 20,000 people at that time. So a lot of people knew everybody. And marches me up there to the manager. Go ahead, go ahead. I took this, I'm sorry. And of course, you know, I'm crying like a little boy. But that learned me a lesson. You know, there's this passion, this desire that is within me to want something. And instead of just waiting, or instead of having that delayed gratification, it's reaching out and taking it now. And that may cause pain and suffering. It may cause hurt to someone else. So we learn as we grow up, you know, from starting out when we're really small, we learn these lessons, you know, of being patient, being kind, not stealing, not taking that which is... But what causes fights and quarrels among you? It's the desires that are within us. You know, it boils down to that, to the sinful nature. And Proverbs 13:12, this is a great verse. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12, it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And, you know, for me as that little boy, for Mom to say, not now, And I knew what that meant. I had deferred hope. It was like it was put off till another date, but I couldn't see that it would ever come. And how often do we have that hope deferred? You know, when we're told, oh, you're going to get a raise, or you get another job interview. And, you know, we build our hope up to some event, you know, being told that you're pregnant, and then complications happen. That hope deferred. Things are put off to another time. And it says that in Proverbs 13:12, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Just like passion is rottenness to the bones, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But the couplet ends with, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life. So there's the good desire and there's the bad desire. Now we're going to start talking more about that good desire. Desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Like how many times, you know, when you, going back to being a little kid, and I asked, some of you might not remember this, but there was, Mattel had this little electronic handheld. They had football and basketball and baseball games, and they were really, you know, this little red LED lights, and it went click, 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 bitty, you know, brrr, click, 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 brrr, you know, really lousy game. But it was all the rage. I can't remember, I was probably like 11 or 12 years old when things came out, and I wanted it. And so, you know, what do you want for Christmas? Oh, I want one of those Mattel games. I don't care if you give me the football or the basketball. You know what, everybody else has got the football, so I want the basketball or the baseball. And so I got the basketball game. And it was that hope deferred. You know, knowing that I was getting it, but having to wait until that day. And I got it. So a lot of times, you know, for the Christmas morning, you know, you got to get up because it's Christmas morning. Hope deferred. You know, knowing that you're going on a vacation, the hope is being deferred. And then sometimes you got to cancel plans because something comes up. So you defer hope in that way. We've got a lot of lies and misconceptions about desire, you know, as it relates to God giving us the desires of our heart. And what could be some lies or misconceptions about desire? Rhetorical. I'll go ahead and answer it. Something that Christians are not to experience pleasure. You know, I've seen that floating around, some memes floating around the internet about Christians not experiencing any kind of pleasure. You know, Christians aren't supposed to have fun. I can't believe that idea is still going around. You know, the people have this idea about Christians in the church that there's no room for any kind of enjoyment. There's no room for any kind of pleasure. You know, but I always fall back to the fact our Creator gave us these five senses. You know, to feel pleasure, also to feel pain, to know that, okay, we don't want to do that, we want to do this. But He's given us that. He desires for us to have pleasure. Something that Christians aren't to experience pleasure because we've been called to deny the flesh. Well, yeah, there's a difference between denying the flesh, that immediate gratification, and then putting it off, the delayed gratification, putting it off for another time. You know, to see the desire fulfilled at a later time, to have that tree of life just bursting up within us. We've been called to deny the flesh, but that's talking about the point where desire becomes lust, where desire becomes covetousness, where desire becomes greed, the place where desire becomes envy. And I think we all know where that line is for each one of us personally. You know? I mean, each one of us may have that. You know, we purpose in our heart. We know, you know, like Paul talked about, this one can eat that without any kind of guilt. But the other one, he's still a babe in Christ, he's still young, or he hasn't come to terms with that. He can't eat that meat that was sacrificed to the idol. You know, where else someone else could just receive. You know what I mean? That scripture where Paul talks about that. And it says, you know, at some point when we're with someone else, we say, you know what, I'm going to deny my flesh because I don't want to cause them to stumble. I'm going to deny myself, even though I'm fine with it. You know what I mean? I'm fine with that, but they're not. They have an issue. It's a stumbling block. So each one of us has this line where the desire crosses over into those acts of the sinful nature. Sometimes we think the desire is bad. Sometimes we think desire is bad. And sometimes we think the desire equates sin, and it doesn't. Desire is good. Desire is good because everything that God has made is good, and He has placed within you and I desire. He has placed within you and I this hope and this hunger and this thirst for good things, to want to do things. And I'm going to share something with you right now. I was doing some thinking about this word, desire. And I was like, what exactly does it mean? And I came up with this definition, which I often do. You know, I'll look at a word and I'll go, what does it mean? And I'll come up with a definition. Then I'll go look for the actual definition. And sometimes, you know, I'm wrong. And sometimes it amazes me that I go, wow. So this word desire, I went to the Latin. And there's several prefixes of, you know, the DE and different meanings, different definitions for the DE. And it has to do with it means verbum, in the name of or from. DE, verbum, it's a word, in the name of or from. So desire, it's from, it's in the name of. And then the sire, the sire, is the genitor or the pater, which means creator and father. So a desire means in the name of the Father, in the name of the Creator, or from the Creator, or from the Father. God has given each one of us in this room desires, things that are of the Father, things that are from our Father, our Creator. And I was looking at that, and I thought, you know, sire, you know, if you watch movies, you know, medieval times, and, you know, the knave comes in, and he talks to the king, and he says, sire, which means father, you know, it's just one of those words that means father. So I thought, in Spanish, in Latin languages, means of, right? So I was like, okay, that means of father. And then looking it up and finding that out. God has desires. In Genesis, we read the story about God wanting to, you know, just saying, let there be light. And then a whole creation story, things that He did. You know, he made us, He made animals, He made plants, He made everything that there is, because of out of His desire. He had this desire to create, this desire to make things, this desire to have relationship. So He made us. He made all of creation. God's will is good, it's pleasing, it's perfect. And he has His will for us to see our desires met out. Our desires are given by God. And this is something that's really, it's really cool to me, this idea of God giving us desires. And how many of us, since we were small children, had a dream? We had a vision, we had a goal, we had desires, things that we wanted to accomplish in our lives. Things that we, you know, maybe we wanted to be an artist, maybe we wanted to be an author, maybe we had a desire to be some kind of a mechanic, to be a race car driver, to be an actor, to be a hairdresser, you know, on a Hollywood set, to do makeup on a Hollywood set. Maybe we had a desire or a dream to, you know, whatever it is, to work at the UN, to be a politician. Maybe we had a desire, you know, to work at the UN, be a translator. I mean, there's all sorts of things. Maybe we wanted to, you know, to travel the world. We wanted to learn how to fly planes. This desire, this passion. Maybe we wanted to collect rocks. You know, maybe we wanted to be a geologist, a biologist. Maybe we love fishing. And it's like, man, if I could just fish all the time and make my living being a fisherman. You know what I mean? We all have these desires. And we wind up sometimes getting into this routine, this rut of leaving our desires behind because, well, I have to deny the flesh because God's called me to do this over here. And you know, it's like going to the third world country, going to the third world country and becoming a missionary because, well, that's what God, you know, I just have to give up all this stuff. And we don't go unless we're called, right? We have to be called to go to a place like that, to leave everything behind and to go, because if we're not called to go there, you know, you're not going to last at all. You know, and you know, Tammy and I have seen that a lot. You know, going through college and seeing, you know, missionaries going through training and that, and you know, we see pastors. You know, if you're not called to it, don't enter into it. If you're not called, don't do it, because you're not going to last long at all. And so it's this thing, you know, finding what we're passionate about, finding what brings us joy. And it harkens back to me to that question. What do you want to be when you grow up? You know, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I still don't know. I remember hearing this story about Martin Luther. And probably you've heard it, or if you saw the film, about him crawling over broken glass, you know, on his hands and knees, going over broken glass, paying this penance, thinking that God wanted him to suffer. And yeah, don't get me wrong, you know, where it says that Jesus suffers and we're to share in his suffering, that's true. But it doesn't mean necessarily, I mean, only do it if God's called you to really do it, but I don't think he does. The self-mutilation, to go across broken glass, or they would take the little whips and flog themselves. You know, that was, and it's still practiced today where people do this. You know, they'll whip themselves. You know, they buffet their body daily. They beat the flesh into submission, and trying to keep their desires at bay. Well, I think that's the Holy Spirit's job. You know, he's given us his Holy Spirit that we might have joy and peace. You know, all those things, all the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Right? Above those things, there is no law. But what is our longing? You know, I shared this with a group of people. We sat down and we talked about desire. We talked about what our passions were, our longings, and sat down and I shared something. There was something that was in me, something I've wanted to do since I was about 8 years old. You know, listening to recordings, watching things on television, going to see things in a theater. And it just really made me excited to see people doing comedy, to see people making other people laugh. And I was a relatively shy kid, always, you know, just hiding back, keeping back. And the only time I would say anything is, you know, was to be smart or to be funny. And it came out of fear. It really did. It came out of fear, you know. And learned early on, if I could make somebody laugh, I could win them over. But that was my heart. My passion was to make people laugh. And I love it today. I love to hear people laugh. And that's my passion. That's my heart. That's my desire, is to make others laugh. It's got nothing to do with music. It's got nothing to do with landscaping and gardening or anything like that. That's my real strip it all down. That's my real calling. You know, for each one of us, how simple is it? You know, is it to be a cook? Is it to be a cleaner? You know, is it to be a seamstress or a tailor? I mean, it could be just something so simple, just working with your hands. Is it to be a carpenter or a carpainter? You know, depending on where you're from. So, I've been really frustrated, you know, working where I'm at. And I know there's some of us here that have been that way, you know, not being happy where we've been. And finding out what makes us tick. It's like, just really get down there and say, what makes me happy? What did God put within me? What desire did he put in my heart that just gets the juices flowing? What gets me excited about life? What makes me hunger and thirst and makes me want to get up in the morning? What am I working for? What do I want to see happen? And if the only way this comes about is if we delight ourselves in the Lord. And see, God takes delight in us receiving joy. God takes delight in seeing our desires fulfilled. God takes delight in those things. And see, even that word delight, it means of the light, and God is light, so it means it comes from him. And it, you know, delight is when the eyes brighten up and the face brightens up and there's joy in the house and we're happy. It's like, yeah, you know, whistle while you work kind of thing. So God was delighted when he made the heavens and the earth. You know, it says he was pleased, he was happy, it was good. It was good. So he wants us to have that. He wants us to have that same kind of delight in to be delighted in him. So if I'm gonna talk just a couple more minutes here. Take some time to think about your desire. This was an exercise that we did at the retreat, and can't duplicate what happened there, but just to say this, and I'll be, you know, I know Tammy and I or Jeff, and if Clarissa were here, I would know that we'd be more than willing to sit with you and to talk and to listen and then to do the exercise. But what we did is we had these 3 days of talking about desire and God putting desires in our heart. And at the end of those 3 days, on the third day, we broke up into small groups. And each one of us shared this secret hidden desire of our heart. And then the other ones in the group affirmed the other person's desires. And we prayed over each other. And It wasn't too shocking to hear some of the desires that were shared. And you know, there was one girl in our group that wanted to have a lot of babies and a big house, and she wanted her house to be the place where people came, you know, where the young folks came over, and the young married couples came, and all the kids hung out, and you know, there was just all kinds of good stuff going on. That it was an open place, a place of hospitality, and a place where people came to eat, you know, and just enjoy each other and enjoy God. And it's like, that's cool. You know, she's already expecting her first child, and so she's well on the way. You know, and there were others, you know, one of the guys that was with us said that he wanted to be a good dad, and he wanted to write songs for the church to worship God. And as he said that, I was just impressed upon my heart to say, you know, his name was Jonathan, and I said, well, you know, Jonathan was really close to David, and David, and he said, my middle name is David. And I said, you know, God's going to honor your desire for the simple fact that you said you wanted to be a good dad. That was first. And just in that, priorities are set right. He didn't say, I want to be a songwriter and I want to write songs for the church. Oh, and I want to be a good dad. He had his priorities straight, had his priorities right. And, you know, of course, Jeffrey shared and Tammy shared and I shared. And then there was affirmation that took place. Just people that maybe we had lunch with once or twice or, you know, just knew for a few minutes. And God gives you knowledge. God gives you wisdom. And you're just able to pray over someone that you don't really know. And but think about those things, you know. And it doesn't matter how old we are. It really doesn't, because God has never done, you know. And I believe in the Bible, there's no such thing as retirement. I mean, we have it here on earth. You know, we may stop doing one thing and move to another. I mean, that was the case of Moses, right? You know, he worked in this area for 40 years, and then he retired from that and then moved into another. But God continued to use him through all 120 years. He never actually, all right, I'm retired. I'm just going to go out and fish or go work in the wood shop. You know, vuba, 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 doing all that. He never retired. And so anyway, if you think about that and you want affirmation, you know, you can talk to me at any time. Talk to Tammy, talk to Jeffrey. It's a really good exercise. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to speak it out. And that's the thing, you know, when God desired for there to be light, he didn't just say, you know, in his mind. He actually said, let there be light. He spoke it out. So for you and I, with our desires, it's good to speak it out. You know, to say, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to be when I grow up. This is the next phase in my life. This is what I want to do. It's okay. Speak it out. And then others in the church to gather around you and affirm it, to say, yeah, I see that in you. Even if, I mean, or, yeah, that's great. Let's pray. Let's do it. Let's see what happens. And to take those steps, you know. I mean, it's no secret. A lot of us know Tammy is great with numbers. You know, she's really good. And her desire, as she shared up there on the mountain, was to go back to school and to work on being an accountant. And I think that's awesome. And her heart is not just to become an accountant, but she wants to help nonprofits. You know, primarily churches and other nonprofit organizations, because they need a whole lot of help. You know, really do. And so she shared that, and we prayed over her. And, you know, so now she's got her degree, and I ordered one from a college in Havana, and it was 1995. And they misspelled her name, but that's okay. It's still valid. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I didn't really get her one from Havana. Yeah, it was from Puerto Rico. So anyway, share your desires. And I, you know, I've said stuff to some of you around here, like what I think God should be doing through you now, but it's okay. So anyway, Father, I thank you for our time together this morning, and I thank you that you've placed desires in each one of us, that you have a plan and a purpose laid out. And it's not just something that we've thought of or some idea that we've had that we want to do. It's something that you've put in us, the reason you made us, the things that you want us to do. And I just ask that you would give us the boldness, the courage to step out, to speak it, and to take those steps. And help us as a family to affirm the calling and election on each other's lives as we speak those things forth. We give you praise, we give you glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.